Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning. This is Baba Jahi, and I'm back. Yes, we took a little break. I hadn't been on the air in a couple of days, but we're back. And, I had gotten some emails, and people wanted me to share some information concerning taxes. And so, we're going to do this show and the next couple of shows. I'm going to go over with you. The title and the theme of this show is called Over 100 Ways to Save on Your Taxes. That's right, people. There's over 100 different ways from having a home-based business to save on your taxes. And, we want to try to go through as many of those, not all today, but over the next couple of weeks, each Tuesday and Thursday, I'm going to be dedicating my time to that. If you go to the chat room right now, chat room is open. I list basic publications that you can get from the IRS at irs.gov, which is a site you really need to familiarize yourself with. The IRS makes everything available for you. And, basically, people, it boils down to this. Reading comprehension. You can pull up the forms. Take your time. And read them and go through them and see for yourself. See with your own eyes. Understand with your own mind. And then apply the principles so that you can save some money on your taxes. And we're going to go through some of those techniques and procedures this morning through the different publications. And, the publications are listed in the chat room. For those of you that might be calling in and listening on air, I will give you those publications. Also, we'll give you my email address and also my phone number so that if you have questions, you can, give me a call or you can email me a question. But we want to do this over, like I said, the next couple of weeks. We want to demystify taxes and the IRS because, people, you need to save. And when I say you, I'm talking about myself too, all of us. We need to save as much as we can in the way that we can. To leave our pocketbooks more beautiful and beneficial than what they are, and all you got to do is just call. It's knowing the rules, and the rules are not difficult. And I'm going to share with you the importance of knowing the rules and why the rules are so important. I know a person, and I'm not going to reveal who this person is because I have people that listen, and they'll, some people in the family, whatever, they'll know who I'm talking about. But anyway, I know a person that commutes 100 miles a day, 50 one way, 50 the other way, to their job. If they had a home-based business, which I also shared with them how they could participate in one, legitimate now, you're talking about no Mickey Mouse stuff, home-based business, just on what's called business-to-business mileage, they would have over $12,000 in write-offs for the use of their car. But because they're scared, because, I don't know, maybe their reading comprehension is not that good, maybe their level of understanding, even when talking to a certified public accountant who does taxes for millionaires, that they couldn't believe. Or maybe they just, like some people, the IRS is like Dracula or the boogeyman to them, and so they just couldn't believe that this could be possible, even though there's a publication that explains to them that they allow 50.8 cents for every mile that's used for business usage. They couldn't comprehend this rule. So by not comprehending this rule, they're giving away $12,000 a year. Is that deep, people? Just think about that now. By not comprehending something, a person is giving away $12,000 a year because they refuse to take their time and comprehend a simple rule that'll work for them because their fear is greater than their desire to keep money in their pocket. That's tragic. That is a human tragedy. when I did the whole possible estimated tax deductions that they could end up with, I came up with close to over $20,000. The person just said, no, I'm not interested. And so it really, I'm using this person as an example of a lot of people who have what I call fear, false evidence appearing to be real. Well, in this case, it's more than fear. It's just downright ignorance because, like I said, again, you go to IRS.gov. The publications are there. You can go through the publications. You can read them. You can interpret them. You can analyze them. And then you can apply the principles to your own personal situation and save yourself money. Now, why some people don't want to do that, I don't know. I'm still, a novice at trying to comprehend, the total human psyche in terms of why some people just don't believe, even when all of the evidence is staring them right in their face. So, it's important as you listen to this broadcast over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to give you the truth. And I'm going to give you the resources, and I'm going to tell you where you can find it. And whether you apply it or not, that's going to be up to you. But at least you won't be able to tell that lie that you didn't know that you could do if you listen to this show. With that in mind, I want to do is move to our theme song and get started this morning with what I call mental adjustment, attitude awareness, and focus, and then get into some content. So hold on as I bring up this switchboard so that I can bring up the theme song. And you know the theme song of this show is called It's My Time. Yes, people, you really need to focus and view and vibrate each day as you start your day. That it's your time. Why else did the Creator of all allow us to have another day on this beautiful place called the Earth that so many people misuse, underuse, and some people abuse? Let's not be one of those abusers of our time this morning. And I appreciate you tuning in to this show because by you tuning in, you're letting me know that you value my time and your time. And so let's listen to It's My Time.
Open up to
share with you. You know, that's our theme song called It's My Time, Time to Declare My Destiny. And today's show, you know, we're talking about over 100 different ways you can save on your taxes. Over 100 different ways you can save on your taxes. Okay, for those out there that's listening, and that also might catch this in the archive, because when you catch it in the archive, you won't have the privilege of being able to log into today's chat room. I want you to take down these publications, and I'm going to give you the publication number. And again, the site is called www.irs.gov. www.irs.gov. Okay, and these are the publications that you want to get. We'll start with first, publication 17. Called Your Federal Income Tax for Individuals. Publication 17, Your Federal Income Tax for Individuals. Next, you want to get Publication 334. Publication 334, Tax Guide for Small Businesses. Again, that is Publication 334, Tax Guide for Small Businesses. Next is Publication 463, Travel, Entertainment, Gift, and Car Expenses. I'll repeat that again. Publication 463, Travel, Entertainment, Gift, and Car Expenses. Next is Publication 587, Business Use of Home. Business Use of Home. Publication 587, Business Use of Home. Next is Form Instructions 8829, Expenses for Business Use of Your Home. That is Form Instructions 8829, Expenses for Business Use of Your Home. You also want to get, you want to be able to know how to fill out a Schedule C. And, you know, I'm going to do a whole show on a Schedule C. But again, when you go to IRS.gov, you can pull up Schedule C, so you can have that form. But when we're ready to do that show, we'll go over that form and, you know, how to fill that form out as it relates to your business. But all of these publications and all of the forms that you need, they're right there at your fingertips. You know, you're listening to this show via the internet. That's how you found out about it. So I already know you got internet connection. And you go to IRS.gov and you download everything that you need in relationship to that. Okay, now let's start with what I call rule number one. Rule number one. Most people I know that have home-based businesses, not all, but most, are usually still working a job outside of their home-based business. No problem. Let me tell you how to relate that job to your home-based business. Okay, you got to understand that the IRS, they look at it, what's called intent. Not how much money you made, your intent. By opening up a home-based business, you need to be able to prove to the IRS that you intend to make a profit. Now, let's break that word down, intent. You intend to make a profit. Doesn't mean you're going to make a profit. But through your efforts and your activities, you are actively pursuing a business venture in which you intend to make a profit. Most people get confused on this. They think they have to make a profit. They say, well, you know, I can't write that off. I ain't make no money. What do you think the big corporations are going through? They went to the government and got the government to bail them out. And, you know, I mean, look at Citicorp. Got the government to bail them out, and then they took $50 million of the bailout money and went and bought them a new corporate jet. Now, you know. Now, see, you don't have nobody to bail you out. But if you understand the tax laws, you can do some things that can help you avoid having, you know, certain kind of financial problems or whatever. So, I mean, again, the key word is intend to make a profit, people. Make sure you understand that. Break that down. I'm trying to break it down for you in layman terms, you know, so that you just want to be able to prove to the IRS that through your business endeavors, It's you actively seeking and trying to make a profit. It's not your fault if people don't consume the goods and services that you offer. You're actively trying to make a profit. Now, what does this have to do with you still working a job? Let me explain to you what it has to do with you still working the job. One of the and again, these information I'm going to give out to you, you still need to be able to get what a tax professional to help you with applying them to your particular situation. You know, if you need help in that area, I also do taxes. I am a tax professional. I'm basically giving out general information and advice through this program. Specific and individual advice, I'd have to do with you with that one-on-one. And again, you know, you can email me at jahitravelsite@yahoo.com. That's JAHITRAVELSITE at yahoo.com. Or you can give me a phone call at 252-977-6834. Okay, so what the first thing you should do if you got a home-based business, a legitimate home-based business, one in which you actually are working and attempting to seek to make a profit, and if you're still working a job, then what you want to do is you want to change on your W-4 at work. You want to change what's called your allowances, not your dependents. See, that's another confusing piece of terminology when people fill out. When you fill out your W-4 for work, it's called allowances, not dependents. Most of us think it means dependents. You want to fill that out and put down at least 9. If you put down 9, what's going to happen is you will have no federal income tax and no state tax taken out of your check. What you're doing in this case, you're fast-forwarding your return. What I mean by fast-forwarding your return, you're going to be able, through your business endeavors, recoup what you would have gave the IRS coming out of your check, and so thus you'll have that money up front. And this is legitimate, this is legal, people. Again, don't be like that person I talked to you about in terms of the opening show. Don't have blinders on and can't comprehend what can work for you. And you can get with any tax professional, and they can explain the difference to you between allowances and dependents. This is called your allowances, and you want to do, if you have a home-based business, you can fast-forward. It's called fast-forwarding your return by changing your allowances and have money in your pocket up front. This is rule number one that I tell people they should do if they have a home-based business and they're still working a regular job. Because you got to understand, though you work in a regular job and you have a home-based business, and even though you might make zero in your home-based business, as long as you can prove intent that you're trying to make some money, your home-based business is considered your primary means of employment and your job is your secondary means of employment. And again, let's break words down, primary and secondary. Your primary means of employment is your home-based business. This is deep. You know, these laws are set up to work for you, but most people, again, as I told you, like that person I talked to you about earlier, we're afraid of boogeymen's and Draculas and Godzillas and other kind of stuff, is that this is the terminology you need to understand, primary, secondary. Your primary means of employment is your home-based business. I don't care if you don't make a dime in it, as long as you can prove intent. Now, how do you prove intent? Let's talk about some ways and means to prove intent. Okay, like I'm involved in the travel business, so we have a site up. And you can go to the site. You know, it's legit. It's up there on the internet. You know, there's money that I spend to have my travel business, you know, to operate, so I can show those expenses, which shows that, you know, that there's intent. Because other than that, you know, this is not a hobby. I don't have it up for hobby purposes. I don't have business cards for hobby purposes. That's an expense. That's an intent. An intent. You know, I have a blog. I have this radio show. Radio show, yes, it's informative, but at the same time, through this radio show, I advertise my business and try to, you know, encourage people to do business with me. That shows intent. Intent. Key word we're talking about here, intent. So, you know, so you want to be able to show with your business your intent. You might, hey, you might sell Mary Kay. I'm just using that as an example. And so if you sell Mary Kay, you have home facial shows, you've bought inventory. You didn't buy the inventory to stock your shelves at home. You bought inventory with the intent to sell it. You do home facial shows or home parties to have people by your house to share your products with them, your services, with the intent that they will buy some. Some will, some won't. But you have a legitimate business because you're getting products and trying to market those products, and you can show intent. This is all the IRS is looking for. They're not looking at your P&L statement, which is, you know, your profit and loss statement, which, you know, you're going to have that, you know, on your Schedule C in terms of, you know, you put money out, but you didn't make a profit. I mean, they're not concerned. Well, you know, you ain't making no money, so you don't have a legitimate business. No, they're looking at the intent. It's the same what I do. I have what's called travel parties. I have people by my house. I explain, you know, how they can get a travel website and book their own travel. I spend money on refreshments. Refreshments, you know, is for the travel party. So those receipts that I spend money on to have refreshments for the travel party, that's, again, intent. That falls in the category of intent. That's a legitimate deduction. I can deduct those expenses. Getting back to my first point is that changing your allowances on your job will give you some money up front in your pocket that you can invest into your business. And see, this is a great strategy that too often people overlook. You know, you go into business for yourself and you want to succeed, you want to get ahead, and you're still working a job because, you know, in most cases people go into business for themselves, they're working a job, they want to get off of that job. Well, change your allowances, have no federal or state tax taken out. That extra money that you're going to get now, invest it in your business, people. Invest it in your business. If the company you're working for, such as like company I'm working for, YTB, you know, if it's a publicly traded company, hey, take some of that extra money, buy you some stocks in your company. Take some of that extra money, buy you, you know, the materials that you need. You know, we you know, this, let's say if it's Mary Kay, you know, that gives you some money to buy some extra inventory. In my case, it gives me some money to buy some, you know, some more DVDs and publications and stuff to get out to help me market, promote, and advertise my business. Because when we get to that thing I tell you about before called Schedule C, we're going to have a column on there about called advertisement and how you advertise and promote your business. So that's the first thing that you want to do as far as this whole thing of changing your allowances and getting, you know, money back up front that normally would be going into your paycheck that you wouldn't see, you know, each week. You want to do that, okay? That's critical, people. That's very, very important. And what you also want to be able to do is, when you do that, is to, again, just document stuff. Documentation is very, very key. One of the things that you want to document, when I talked about that mileage piece before, is you want to be able to take and keep you a logbook in your vehicle. Now, the reason you want to keep a logbook in your vehicle is that every morning, Every time you step in that vehicle, we want to try to make sure that every time you step in there, that you're going somewhere in which you're in your vehicle for business usage. And why do we want to say you're in your vehicle for business usage? It's because when you go shopping, let's say you're going, you leave not to go get, do your grocery shopping. Okay, so let's say you shop at a Safeway or Publix or Maryland, a giant food store, or here in where I'm at in Carolina, Piggly Wiggly or Walmart. They usually have what's called community bulletin boards in that place. So one of the things that you want to do is you want to hang a flyer, a business card, or a 3x5 index card, something that has information on it about your business. You want to have on some type of flyer, card, or business card that you can see the store manager about and ask him to be put up on a community bulletin board. Now, this is a key thing right here. Listen to what I'm about to say real carefully. Whether they put it up on the community bulletin board or not, as long as you see the store manager and ask, can it be put up, that trip to that particular store, that mileage, the time it took you to get there, the mileage you drove to get there and to get back home, that is all now tax deductible. That is considered business mileage, use of your vehicle. Remember, you get 50 cents per mile. So you want to learn how to do this so that every time when you go to the filling station to get gas, when you go anywhere, you always want to speak to the store manager and ask them, can you put up something about your business? Whether they say yes or no, it's not important. You ask. You document it. That mileage is now write off. I hope you're hearing me on this. I hope you're feeling me on this. I hope you're understanding what I'm saying. I hope you're understanding, again, that key word intent. You're trying to, your intent is to try to make a profit. It's not whether they say yes or no. You got to ask. Ask not, you have not. Right? Ask not, you have not. You don't ask, hey, and then it don't work for you. That's all. It's very simple. You know, and people, this is key. I mean, people get confused on this. Say, well, you know, but they didn't let me put it up. But you can document that you asked the store manager. I went to the store today. Oh, and by the way, while I was there, you know, well, while you was there, you went on and did your grocery shopping. See, turn your grocery shopping into a business activity. Another way to turn your grocery shopping into a business activity, while you there shopping and you're standing in line waiting to get waited on, and the person's in front of you with a cart, the person's behind you with a cart, learn how to be a conversation specialist and give them one of your business cards. Now you have just what's called prospected. And that whole trip, again, to that store and back in terms of driving is a mileage, legitimate mileage tax write-off. The most important thing, documentation. Keeping that journal in your vehicle and documenting your mileage. Keeping that journal in your vehicle and documenting your mileage. I'm going to take and go to commercial break. And on this commercial break, we're going to share information about one of the things that we're currently advertising and doing here, and that's our aisle 19, and I'm going to go to that. And then I'm going to come right back and go over a few more pointers with you as we close off this segment of over 100 ways to save on your taxes. And you'll be on again next Tuesday with some more ways. But, you know, we just talked about changing your allowances, and we talked about how to take advantage of mileage, how to document your mileage. And I'll be right back. Okay, switchboard moving a little slow here, but it's about to come up. Hey, hey, hey. you're about to hear about a secret. It's called The Secret of Aisle 19. Helps you save money on all of your shopping. Listen to this secret. It will definitely empower you and save you some money during these recessionary times. Are you ready on your shopping that you...
It was here when Sally Winters made a chance encounter with someone that was holding a secret. A secret that was going to affect the rest of her life.
There I was, my cart loaded with all the things my family needed. I was simply going to check out and go home when this person came up to me. It was really kind of strange.
Hi. I noticed you were waiting to check out, and I just had to come over here and talk to you. But you do not want to check out here.
I'm sorry. Do I know you?
Really, look, I just have a secret for you. You take your cart and you move it over to aisle number 19. They will give you cash back on all of your purchases. But if you stay right here, you will be paying full price, honey.
Oh, come on. I don't believe you.
You don't believe me?
Well, I'll check this out.
I was amazed. She showed me her basket full of stuff and showed me the bills and a handful of cash. Well, that really started me thinking.
The decision Sally made next was going to be the biggest of her life. She followed this mysterious woman to aisle 19 and soon discovered the secret. There was nobody in line. She placed her items on the belt. And incredibly, the cashier handed her a pile of cash. As the cashier whispered the next secret, Sally grew very still. You see, she was uncovering one of the most important secrets of all. Sally was told that you had to be invited to use aisle 19, just as the mysterious woman had invited her. She discovered that hundreds of stores like Walmart, Home Depot, and many others, all have a checkout aisle 19. So no matter where she shopped, she had to make sure and check out. Secret aisle.
I started thinking, now that I know the secret of aisle 19, would I ever check out at another aisle again? I don't think so. That wouldn't make any sense.
You have just been given the secret. Aisle 19. Just think of that. All of the money that you're currently spending on toilet paper, toothpaste, food, health subscriptions, and prescriptions. Just all of your consumer dollars that you're spending right now. You can start getting cash back by using aisle 19. But remember the other part of the secret. You have to be invited. Well, this is Baba Jahi, and I'm inviting you to check out aisle 19. Call us at 252-977-6834. You can put cash back in your pocket today, not tomorrow, today. J-A-H-I. TRAVELSITE at yahoo.com. Thank you for listening to this. And now that you've learned the secret, do something with it. Okay, we're back from commercial break. And again, that commercial is about aisle 19, one of them. Tremendous secrets that's going on. You know, you were given an invitation. You can participate. And, you know, hey, we'd like to be able to help you just like we feel as though. And we hope that we're helping you this morning with this information on taxes. Okay, we left off talking about this whole intent and how to use that for your mileage deduction. Your mileage deduction. So remember, you want to keep a journal, a notebook journal in your vehicle so that every time that you leave your house to go somewhere, you want to be able to write off as a legitimate tax deduction your to and from whereabouts. Now, remember the key rules. Give out a business card. If you're stopping at a filling station, place to eat, place to do groceries, shopping, whatever, see the store manager. Ask, can you leave a flyer? They have a community bulletin board. If they don't have a community bulletin board, one of the things that I do at times, I leave flyers at the counter. You know, I talk to the people. Sorry if I leave a few of these here at your counter. I have just effectively advertised my business, and that's that trip. It's a total write-off. Talk to somebody about your business. Okay, let's go to another way that, you know, we want to highlight today, and we'll go in a little bit more detail in the next show because our time is, you know, is winding down, is you want to also document all of your, what I call your professional expenses. Professional expenses. Okay. Now, what is that? Depending on the type of business you have, if you take workshop training to improve in skill development, again, the mileage it takes to get there, if there's a registration fee for the workshop, if there's a, you know, a book or something you need to purchase to read, that purchase of that book, you know, the cost to attend the workshop, you know, your trip there, your meals, if you stay at a hotel, you're going out of town, your hotel expense, all these are listed as your professional expenses. If it's doing something over the internet, you know, then your internet usage is, again, that's a business expense because you need the internet to access, you know, your business training. So your internet expense, whatever your internet provider is, you know, whatever you pay a monthly, you add it up for the year, that is a business expense. It's not a personal use expense because, again, you're going to show that you need this in order to do your business, such as, you know, I'm involved in the travel business. So my cable bill is part of a business expense because you need the Weather Channel, I need the Travel Channel. So as I, you know, deal with customers and clients and stuff, that I'm abreast of what's going on in different parts of the world, weather, travel, and then CNN, you know, the news, what's going on, you know. Person might tell me, you know, they want to take a trip over to Israel right now. So, oh, well, wait a minute. You need to know what's going on over there in terms of world events and whether or not you know, feel it's safe to travel there right now or not. You know, all of these things are important, but this all falls under what's called your professional expenses. Professional expenses. And again, when we get to that Schedule C, there's a space on there that goes over your professional expenses. And so, you know, we want to make sure that we, you know, go through those and understand those because that is so, so important. Okay, you know, we're about to wrap up for the day. And again, to summarize some of the things that I covered today, is first of all, irs.gov, make sure you take and, you know, you should bookmark that site. Everything you're going to need to save on your taxes, you're going to be able to get off of that site. Know the rules, which is called like knowing the rules of engagement. Know the rules, people. You know, I'm going to try to help you as much as I can with this, but I can't teach you reading comprehension. You got to be able to comprehend. I can explain to you what they mean, but if you don't believe, then, you know, that's going to be on you. That's going to be your problem. You need to be able to understand that. We talked about if you're working and you have a home-based business and you're not totally free from the work world yet, how to change your allowances, which you don't have to. But, it, you know, it's a good rule of thumb. If you need money to invest in your business and you're working a job, change your allowances. Just don't go party the money up, the difference you get. That's one of the mistakes I see people make at times. Take the difference that you're going to now have that you wouldn't have before and invest it in your business. You'll be so glad that you did. Invest it in your business. You'll be so glad that you did. And you can legitimately and legally do that. Understand again, as I'm summarizing, the IRS is concerned about intent. Not whether you made a profit or not, but you intended to make a profit. That is their concern, intent. So you want to be able to show how to prove intent. You prove intent by the fact that you properly advertise in your business. One of the ways you advertise your business, as I told you, when you go shopping, when you go out, you go make your grocery shopping, you go to get gasoline, you go into a restaurant, always ask the store manager, have you flyers about your business, and ask if they have a bulletin board in which you can leave information. If they don't, ask them, can you leave a few at the counter? They're going to tell you yes or no. It doesn't matter if they let you put any up or not. You ask. That's intent. It's prospecting. Understand that. And please understand your mileage deductions. Okay, this has been Baba Jahi. You know, hey, I really thank you for tuning in this morning, and we'll be back Tuesday with some more of over 100 ways to save on your taxes. Over 100 ways to save on your taxes. I thank you for tuning in with us this morning. I'm going to close out with a song, and you can apply this song to this show. You know, hey, I want to thank you for the love that you've been showing me by tuning in and listening to this show. And, you know, we really, really, you know, appreciate your support.
Yeah.